Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Inner Healing and Deliverance Handbook, Hope to Bring Your Heart Back to Life, by Jennifer Evaz, narrated by Pam Ward. Foreword. As an ex-career criminal and convict who lived an extremely violent life, I know the absolute necessity of inner healing and deliverance. Even if someone hasn't been on the street or incarcerated in prison like I was, we all need inner healing. This world is unkind and brutal to all, no matter what color, gender, or station in life. Any ministry that is not skilled in inner healing and deliverance will leave their flock dissolute, despondent, and broken. My ministry is known for our fresh biblical revelations on soul healing and miracle working. In fact, many have called me the Apostle of Soul Healing. Although I would never claim that title for myself, it lets me know that healing the wounded soul is one of the most crucial revelations needed by the body of Christ. Being so immersed in soul healing has not only enabled me to see hundreds of thousands of people freed, but also given me the ability to recognize when someone else walks powerfully in inner healing and deliverance. Jennifer Evaz is one of those rare people. I think there is nothing more destructive than when someone who dares to write a book hasn't yet lived out every line. This is definitely not the case with Jennifer. If you possess sufficient discernment, you will see that every pen stroke she writes here is a direct result of the scars on her soul and body. These are her badges that prove she has the legal right and authority to create a handbook on deliverance and healing. When you look at Jennifer with natural eyes, you would never guess that she has endured such high-level warfare. This proves even more that the extraordinary revelations contained in this handbook really work. Jennifer knows how to erase the scars, along with their side effects, and then remove the demonic landing strips they create. Inner Healing and Deliverance Handbook takes you step by step through biblical precepts that will reveal to you the key issues in your soul and body that are causing the battles you haven't been able to overcome. In each section, Jennifer gives you remedies that really work. When you're done, you will experience a supernatural shift in every part of your life. Even after you work through Inner Healing and Deliverance Handbook, it won't collect dust on your shelf. This powerful handbook will always be your guide in every emergency and crisis you face. Take a deep breath. Your freedom is here. Big love, Katie Souza. Founder, Katie Souza Ministries and Expected End Ministries. Author, Healing the Wounded Soul and Soul Decrees. Introduction. Several years ago, I watched a gripping spy thriller starring Gina Davis entitled The Long Kiss Goodnight. The plot is centered around a sassy and popular elementary school teacher in a small town, along with her 8-year-old daughter and boyfriend. The main character had been found washed ashore on a New Jersey beach, being 2 months pregnant and fully amnesiac. Having never remembered her real name, Samantha hired a number of ineffective private investigators over a period of 8 years to try to discover her past. During the Christmas holidays, she is involved in a tragic car accident and hospitalized with a concussion. Then she begins to reconnect with her true self, a much more dangerous woman named Charlie, who informs her in a dream that she is coming back. Coming back meant Charlie would be taking over her personality once again. As the movie unfolds, Charlie is revealed to be a top assassin for the CIA, which is a far cry from her previously adopted small-town persona. The movie depicts her breaking free from her amnesia and returning to her true self. As expected, she goes after the bad guys with several violent and bloody fight scenes and plenty of explosives. I watched this movie just once and felt strangely haunted by it, only I did not know why. I had thought to watch it again several times over a period of years, but never did. With that, I would describe what finally became uncovered in my life as a feeling of being in some kind of movie. It was so unreal, yet it was truly happening to me. Through a series of events, I finally came face to face with my own severe amnesia. It was not quite like this movie, and in all humor, I am not a CIA assassin. I do know my name, I know where I grew up, and I can recall enough facts from my early years to put together a story of who I thought I really was. Still, there were large gaps of time in my growing up years. I could not remember what took place, no matter how hard I tried. I thought this was normal, and never questioned why I could not call to mind certain years of my life. Just like Samantha in the movie, at age 47 I had a missing piece of myself reemerge suddenly with an unbelievable story to tell. My traumatic amnesia had finally broken open to reveal its hidden contents. It was a horrific story that served to shake my identity so badly that I wanted to quit life completely. I had desperately hoped this was some kind of mental breakdown characterized by psychotic delusion. That would have been much easier to accept. This missing part of me, just like Charlie in the movie, came out of my subconscious depths and gave voice to what happened during those missing years. Finally, I was facing the hellish memories I had made myself forget in order to survive the ridiculous. Inner healing and deliverance ministry have always been an integral part of my personal growth, as well as an effectual expression of Christ's ministry in and through my life. In reality, there has never been a time when I did not experience spiritual and emotional challenges for a variety of reasons. Every time something surfaced in my life that obviously needed inner healing or deliverance, I was diligent to pursue healing and work through my issues as best as I knew how. The problem is, when your life keeps reflecting negative cycles and patterns, for instance, chronic sickness, mental breakdowns, frequent anxiety and nervousness, nightmares and night terrors, strange spiritual phenomenon, etc., there is something within that is contributing to these cycles. There is some kind of hidden emotional and spiritual root system that will keep bearing fruit until it is unearthed and uprooted through the truth of God's Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. There are some who refuse to believe that Christians would ever need inner healing or deliverance ministry, because this was all taken care of through the finished work of Jesus. They propose a philosophy like this: we don't need to look at our past or what is wrong with us all the time. We don't need counselors or counseling. We only need to look to the cross. Stepping into personal freedom, however, is not that simple for most Christians. Denial of your problems does not heal you, and what you do not deal with will eventually deal with you. Real freedom in Christ involves the process of facing reality and overcoming it with the truth of God's Word. I do agree that there are excesses among the ranks of inner healing and deliverance ministers that need to be addressed and avoided. For example, not every single problem is a demon needing to be cast out. I also believe it is the finished work of the cross that makes the process and journey of inner healing and deliverance ministry effective. Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John chapter 8, verse 32. Whenever we believe a lie, then we have aligned that part of our life with Satan, who is the father of lies. That part of our life cannot reflect the blessing of God until we make an exchange with God's truth, an exchange that always brings freedom. Too often, we do not know the lies that we believe. We might not even remember the circumstances that birthed those lies in the first place. That is, until the Holy Spirit reveals them. My missing past began to unfold like an angry river of successive memories. I was so unraveled in response that I had to get help. This was not something I could walk through without the guidance and accountability of experienced ministers and professional counselors. The emotional and spiritual aftermath caused me to wrestle hard with the question, can someone like me be healed? Just like the prophet Elijah, I have felt completely alone in my struggle. I simply did not know anyone else who had made it out this far. And I still do not. What happened to me is not something you want to talk about. Ever. And yet I am compelled to tell you my story and provide as many road-tested keys and truths as I can to help you heal, no matter what you are working through. This book that you are now listening to is not as much of a method to heal as it is a journey with Jesus the healer. That is how you walk out and heal from brokenness on this level, or any level for that matter. You have to equip yourself with His truth, and then let the Holy Spirit lead you into victory. Pray this prayer with me. Holy Spirit, I give you my yes. I want to be made whole, but I am scared and I feel weak. Help me to see past my issues and look to the many rewards ahead. Give me solid reasons to finish my healing journey and to never quit. Take the lead, Holy Spirit, and anoint me for inner healing and deliverance. Let every yoke be broken, and enable me to help others break yokes too. Amen. Chapter 1. Do you want to be made whole? I was working part-time at a small but well-maintained nursing and rehabilitation home during my first year at Modesto Junior College in Modesto, California. It was an administrative position that paid minimum wage for minimal hours and without much responsibility. In other words, it was a gloriously low-stress job and perfectly suited for college life. My sole responsibilities were answering the phone and keeping an eye on things, and only on the occasional weekend. Regardless, I was able to interact with some of their patients and was prompted by the Holy Spirit to reach out to one elderly woman in particular. I felt compelled to invite her to consider a relationship with Jesus. I was a very new Christian, yet I could identify the voice of God speaking to my heart and mind quite often. His loving voice came to me concerning her as a clear prompting within my heart, but an urgent one. Immediately, I began to pray in my prayer language, and then drove the short 15 minutes to the facility from my home. I found her easily enough, as she typically sat facing a window in her wheelchair, always bent over in an arch, and never fully able to straighten herself up. I approached her as politely as I knew how, and then shared with her about the love of Jesus and the power of His forgiveness. At the same time, I mistakenly believed she was ready to receive my words and did not anticipate what happened next. Instead of her being receptive, almost instantly an ugly stream of blasphemies and curses spilled out her mouth. She continued to make abominably vile and foul statements about Jesus until I gave up and walked out of the facility in both shock and embarrassment. What was going on here? This usually quiet, elderly woman was not crazy, as we are so apt to label people who behave how she behaved. She was demonized, meaning she was under the control and influence of a demonic spirit. We read about this phenomenon in the Bible many times, the most severe account being a man from the Gadarenes, who was possessed with a legion of demons, meaning thousands of spirits, all of which Jesus successfully cast out. See Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. In much of American culture, which would also reflect much of westernized Christian culture, We often misdiagnose or make excuses for people's outrageously bad behavior. We say things like, she must be crazy, or he's going senile, then fail to identify the real problem. This aged woman had a demon, and that demon hated Jesus viciously. If I had understood better, I would have attempted to cast this foul demon out of her, according to Jesus' own words, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Demons are fallen angels who serve Satan, not God, and seek to afflict humanity in any way possible, which includes demonization. Because I did not understand what I had encountered, I neglected to provide a true remedy. I also needed to know what Jesus had been anointed to do and why the Holy Spirit would come to rest upon us believers in the first place. It was certainly a learning experience, one I would never forget. Jesus is our example. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we see a beautiful description of Jesus' ministry while here on the earth. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Did you notice how Jesus, God in the flesh, had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to heal and deliver people from demonization? One would think he would not need extra power from the Holy Spirit, just on the basis of who he is. Yet he kept pointing to a day when you and I would do the works that he did, and even greater than he did. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. John chapter 14, verse 12. In other words, he had chosen to not be in a class all to himself. We too can become anointed by the Holy Spirit, just as he was. In Bible times, people were physically anointed with oil to signify God's blessing or calling on that person's life. It was a physical act that coupled as a conduit of supernatural endowment or consecration, all at the same time. People would be anointed for a special purpose, to be a king, prophet, priest, etc., and the anointing would supernaturally change them into that role. When Aaron was officiated into priesthood, for example, he was physically anointed with oil in this manner. And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. Exodus chapter 29, verse 7. Likewise, the prophet Samuel poured a flask of oil over the head of Saul and anointed him as the king of Israel, an act that changed his heart into another man. He then anointed David king. See 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1 through 9, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. People were also anointed with oil to receive God's needed intervention in their physical health. We read, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." James chapter 5, verse 14. Even today, we can be physically anointed with oil for leadership in God's church or for governmental roles. Just as Jesus experienced and foretold, we can become anointed by the Holy Spirit himself for inner healing and deliverance ministry. There is demonstrable power associated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is something tangible, not just metaphorical. The anointing will destroy what has bound you or confined you demonically. The prophet Isaiah described the anointing with this powerful statement: "The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. A yoke in the Bible can be a metaphor to describe a heavy, burdensome task or obligation. In this passage, Isaiah was prophesying the future destruction of the Assyrians' heavy suppression against the Israelites, and how the anointing would bring forth a national deliverance. King Rehoboam also used this term as he tried to terrorize his subjects into submission. He threatened them with a heavy yoke. Breaking a yoke in the Bible often symbolized freedom from oppressors. Demons may come to terrorize you and suppress you, but it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. Anointed to heal and deliver. John the Baptist, a radical Nazarite, had been waiting to see a prophecy fulfilled before his very eyes. John explained this about Jesus. "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" John chapter 1, verse 33. Finally, that day arrived. It was a day like no other. Jesus, God in the flesh, was baptized in water by John the Baptist. Then Jesus, standing side by side with John in the Jordan River, prayed a prayer that opened the heavens. The voice of God the Father sounded down to earth from the sky, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Within moments, the Holy Spirit came to rest upon Jesus in bodily form and in the likeness of a dove. The Holy Spirit's arrival was a gentle one, but his fierce nature emerged almost instantly. He drove Jesus into the wilderness for 40 arduous days and nights to be tempted by Satan. Although weary and hungry, Jesus overcame every demonic temptation masterfully, being encouraged and strengthened by the angels who attended to him. He then returned to his hometown of Nazareth, immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit. As was his custom, Jesus went into the synagogue and read aloud to the attendees this prophecy from the book of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Chapter 61, verse 1. He then proclaimed that this prophecy was now fulfilled in their presence. Pay attention to what he was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do. He was anointed to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. He also instructed those who believe in him to go and do likewise, an instruction for then as well as for now. See Mark chapter 6, verses 7 and 12 through 13, chapter 16, verse 17. This tells us that there is an anointing from the Holy Spirit to heal hearts, which is the foundation of inner healing ministry, and an anointing for deliverance from demons. This anointing will come upon people for personal heart healing and deliverance. It will also come upon people to minister these elements in power. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is a destroyer of demonic bondage. Not only that, it pulls you back together in all of the places you have been broken. The emphasis is clear. There will be an anointing and a subsequent ministry in the earth that both heals broken hearts and delivers people. This anointing knows no limitations. It does not pick and choose what it will heal or whom it will deliver. Jesus came to give us full freedom and not leave us only half done. See John chapter 8, verse 36. I have read and heard different testimonies from those who are anointed for this kind of ministry to others. Carlos Anacondia, for example, was a highly successful businessman who gave his life to Jesus at age 35. 5 days after receiving Christ into his heart, he experienced the Spirit of glory like a burning fire. Compelled by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, he began ministering the message of salvation in small towns in Argentina. His ministry was marked by signs and wonders, the most notable being mass deliverance from demons. A mass deliverance is a type of group deliverance and typically ministered to an entire group of people at one time. This is in contrast to individual deliverance ministry, in which one person at a time is ministered to. Another is Ana Mendez Ferrell, author and minister, who died and went to hell, only to come back to life, still not knowing Jesus. She was in and out of mental hospitals, tried the occult, lost her children due to instability, but then recovered when she encountered Jesus and became anointed for deliverance ministry. Living through years of torment and depression filled me with a holy rage against Satan and his destructive work, she wrote in her book, Regions of Captivity. Setting souls free through the power of Jesus, my Redeemer, is one of the most important missions in my life. Most inner healing and deliverance ministers became anointed for this work out of the issues they resolved in their own lives. This, too, is my story, many times over. Stepping into your ministry. To clarify, every believer in Christ is in ministry. You, therefore, are a minister. A Christian is always an intercessor on some level, meaning you are called to pray on behalf of others in partnership with the Holy Spirit. A believer is also a minister of the kingdom wherever God has given you influence. This includes sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and operating in the signs of a believer, such as healing the sick and casting out demons. We often categorize real ministers narrowly as being those who receive a paid salary from a church or from a recognized parachurch ministry. Real ministry is done by all those who have surrendered to Christ, paid or unpaid, recognized or unrecognized. I bring up the necessity of wholeness in ministry, having learned that engaging any level of ministry or intercession draws attention to the condition of your heart. The prophet Jeremiah wrote, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. I have learned the hard way that we really do not know what is in our heart unless the Holy Spirit reveals it. At the same time, most of us are in some kind of spiritual violation of the Scriptures in some manner, either knowingly or more often out of ignorance. Unhealed issues of the heart and violations of spiritual laws are opportunities that Satan takes advantage of to hinder our lives and diminish our earthly ministries. He looks for legal grounds to attack and bind us because he is a thief and wants to seize everything we have. He also seeks to hinder any effective ministry from coming out of us. With that said, I have had to be realistic and intentional to press into reputable inner healing and deliverance ministry, as well as to engage in extensive Christian counseling and trauma therapy. If I am going to be an effectual minister and intercessor who lasts, I have to work on my heart. I had no idea that the countless hours of dealing with the messiest parts of my life would yield a book like this, ultimately. As a matter of course, I have also become well-versed with the many streams and methodologies employed by inner healing and deliverance ministers, such as Restoring the Foundations, Elijah House, HeartSync, and Bethel Sozo. And I encourage you to do the same. To get started, let's define the terms inner healing and deliverance. Inner healing is the healing of the inner person, the mind, the emotions, the painful memories, the dreams. It is the process through prayer whereby we are set free from resentment, rejection, self-pity, depression, guilt, fear, sorrow, hatred, inferiority, condemnation, or worthlessness, etc. It includes healing of the wounded spirit as well, something that occurs through parental rejection, occult ritual abuse, and more. Deliverance is the process of casting out demons. Deliverance is from God and is part of the blessing of being in covenant with Him. It only destroys what is of the devil. It never destroys what is of the Holy Spirit. Since deliverance is a work of the Holy Spirit, it builds up the saints and edifies the church. It tears down the strongholds of the enemy, but builds up the work of God. My observation and personal experience with inner healing and deliverance ministry is that they work best together and not separately. To reiterate, the Apostle Paul described Jesus as being anointed with power by the Holy Spirit to heal all.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?